Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Right now, we are going to take a look back at the month of March and a look ahead to the next quarter of the year. And helping us out this morning is the man, the myth, the legend, David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. David, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot. How are you?
Not too bad. And let's start off with our usual, taking a look back in March. What were some of the things that stood out for you? For me, it was the postponement of the European Championships and the Olympics. What about you, Manisha?
That stood out for you?
Yes. Oh. Because some of my favorite players that are injured can now possibly play in next year's Euros.
I was trying to figure out how this could be a good thing. So now you've explained.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Thank you for the context. Well, mine was a big highlight. It was my birthday in the month of March. And I felt very grateful because we're in Singapore and I got to go out and I got to have dinner and I wasn't under a stay-at-home order.
Nice.
Yeah. Happy birthday once again, Manisha. Well, for me, it was something I've been waiting for years. And this is the market correction. We saw markets dropping into bad territory. And for many years, we've been talking about how it's just around the corner. Markets are going to be correcting. And I've been waiting. No, it didn't happen. The next year, I'm waiting again. Didn't happen. Okay, maybe now this is the time to jump in. And I think it's a great time to speak with David to get his take on what we should be shopping for. And of course, I'm going to get his take first on how much wrapped up for Singapore stock markets. David, so looking at STI, it's down nearly 18% for March, and for the quarter, it's down 23%. So let's walk through some of the biggest winners and losers. Before we get there, what stood out for you in March?
What stood out for me in March? I think it was perfecting my pumpkin soup, because I've been spending so much time at home that I had to find ways of filling my time. And of course, it was the perfection of my pumpkin soup. So if anybody has any good recipes for soups, just let me know, I will try everything out.
Yeah, I hope we can meet up once this is all over and have a taste of your pumpkin soup. But before we can get there, let's look at the biggest winner on the SGX, or the STI. Just one of the 30 STI components were in the green, and this is Singapore Exchange. It's up 8.2%. And I'm just wondering, is this benefiting from the market volatility right now?
I think it is. And I think, it is really the stability of the cash flows at Singapore Exchange that is attracting people to that particular counter. And what you say is absolutely correct, Ryan, that ultimately, in these volatile times, there are lots of people going into the market. And that will actually be good for Singapore Exchange. Of course, the other thing is many of the fund managers will be using many of their derivatives and instruments that are available on Singapore Exchange to try and manage their portfolio. So, it's hard to say it's a good time for Singapore Exchange, but ultimately, when you have a look at the 30 counters in the STI, it is the only one that actually rose in the month of March. Quite extraordinary.
All right, David, looking at some of the biggest losers right now, and not a surprise, at the top of the list, you've got Singapore Airlines, down 28%. And it is quite tough times for Singapore Airlines. Do you think the worst is over for at least the stock price?
Well, it's really hard to say. I think it ultimately depends on how long it will take for travel to resume. But when you have a look at the number of planes that have been grounded, not just by Singapore Airlines, but just generally flag carriers all around the world, everybody is grounding their airlines, grounding their fleet, and it must be a really tough time for the airline industry. But what you really have to hope for is that they get some kind of lifeline from the government. I mean, not just the Singapore government, but I think every airline around the world will require some kind of help from their national governments in order to, first of all, maintain their staff who have also been grounded, and to ensure that, when things do turn around the corner, that they'll be able to fly again and be able to sort of rehire all their flight crew.
Yeah, we hope to see a turnaround for SIA soon. Walking through very quickly the other top losers for March, you've got Jardine Cycle & Carriage down 26.7%. You've got CityDev down 25.9%. ST Engineering down 25.2%. And DBS Group down 23%. David, just picking up on DBS, you've got quite a bit of pressure and a few headwinds in the months ahead. You've got rates coming down, you've got some worries over loans in terms of sectors being exposed to bad debts. What's your take on banks right now? do you think we will be seeing at least a share price under further pressure in the next quarter?
It's really hard to say, Ryan, but I have a look at the three Singapore banks, and I just look at the valuations, and I think they look attractively valued right now, both in terms of their dividend yields and also in terms of their price-to-earnings ratio. So I think it really depends on your time horizon. If you are very far-sighted as I am, you know, and you're a long-term investor, then I think many of the banks do look quite attractive right now. But it's going to be tough. It really is going to be tough for the next few quarters for many of the banks, Ryan.
We've been speaking with David Kuo, who is co-founder of The Smart Investor. David, taking a look at Singapore markets in March, just one winner, the rest pretty much in red. Not very encouraging for investors. What would your advice be to investors right now?
Well, you know, I recently wrote an article, Elliot, for the Business Times, you know, which is part of your organization. And I was relating a story about looking at impressionist paintings. And I don't know how much of an art buff you are, but I do remember going to see an impressionist exhibition, some of the great work by Monet and Manet. And the thing about impressionist paintings is when you stand up close to a painting, you can't really sort of make out what the painting is. The only way that you can appreciate a painting is to step as far back as you can, and then you can suddenly see the full beauty of that painting. And I think the same thing is going on with the market right now. Many people are standing too close to the market. So they're following, you know, the ups and downs of the market, the Dow Jones going up by several thousand points and then falling by several thousand points. And it is very unnerving. But I think what you need to do as an investor is to step back and say, what are these companies going to look like in 5 or 10 years' time? Are they going to be bigger and stronger in 5 or 10 years' time? And if you think the companies that you're invested in are going to be strong, that they have good cash flow, they have got strong balance sheets, then I don't think you need to worry too much. But ultimately, when you are too close to the action, when you are seeing these sort of very volatile movements in share prices, it can be very unnerving. And for some people, you know, they can't stomach that kind of volatility. And of course, they throw in the towel and they leave. And what I say to people is, if you can't afford to leave your money invested for 5 or 10 years, you shouldn't really be in the stock market in the first place. Yeah. And so, for me, I'm a long-term investor, Elliot.
It reminds me of a story of how Intel at one point dropped to like $11. Look where it is today. Yeah. You know, look back at history, I suppose. Look back at history.
I think so. I totally agree with you, Elliot.
So let's talk about one area where you do have to have a bit of at least medium to longer term outlook. Let's talk about REITs and whether the sell-off in REITs is actually justified then. Because within the SCI, REITs have fallen between 7.5% in the case of like Ascendas REIT, for example, and 21% in the case of CMT. So that's pushed up the yield to around 6%. Is that sustainable?
Yeah, that is a really interesting point. And I think yes. I think when you have a look at what is going on, firstly, you have fewer people going into the shopping mall. So therefore, it is understandable why some investors are saying, oh, you know, the days of the shopping malls are over. But I don't think that's entirely true. I think when all of this blows over, people will start returning to the malls. And there is some indication that people do still enjoy going to the malls, even though it is becoming increasingly difficult. Then, of course, you have things like office REITs, and people are saying, oh, is the COVID-19 a game changer? In other words, people are working from home at the moment. Does that mean that everybody will be working from home in the future and nobody will be going into the offices? And I think, you know, that is also a very wrong assumption. So ultimately, I think when we get through all of this, things will return to normal again. But in the short term, people are very concerned about REITs because they say, you know, they borrow an awful lot of money and can they sustain their distributions to investors. And I always say that there are two things that need to happen simultaneously to affect a REIT. And the first one, of course, is some kind of economic slowdown, which we are seeing at the moment. We can't deny that. And the second thing that must happen is a shortage of credit. In other words, the REITs won't be able to renew the loans that they've taken out. And I don't think there is any sign of a shortage of credit at the moment. If anything, there is a surplus of cash swirling around the global economy. So I think when the REITs need to renew their loans, they won't have any problems in doing so. So, like I said, the two things must happen simultaneously. And the only time that it ever happened was during the Great Financial Crisis, when there was a shortage of credit, and, of course, a downturn in the economy. But this time, we have a slowdown in the economy, but no shortage of credit. So I'm not too concerned about the REITs at the moment, even though maybe, you know, some of their distributions may be cut as a result of lower rentals. But apart from that, I'm not too worried at all, Manisha.
David, on that note, would you have any quick comments about dividends in general? Any chance they could be cut?
I think so. I am a realist. You know, I am an optimist, but I'm also a realist. Mm. And I know that, you know, some of the companies with a drop in revenues, when you haven't got the kind of revenues, you're not going to make a great deal of profit. So therefore, I think dividends will be cut. So people need to be prepared for that and accept the fact that if you are an income investor, maybe, I'm just putting my finger in the air here, Elliot, mm-hmm. I think there could be somewhere around a 20 to 25% cut in dividends for many of the companies that do pay regular dividends.
All right, something to watch out for, 20 to 25%. David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor, on the line with us. David, stay safe, stay healthy, and good luck with that pumpkin soup, yeah?
Thank you so much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.